Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel media and literature ministry. For the past few weeks on Hope for Today, we've been studying from the closing verses of Daniel chapter 2. Our study is titled, A Forever Kingdom. In the beginning of our study, we noted that God reveals in this text His forever kingdom through a series of divine actions. The first action we looked at was an answer obtained. The second action we looked at was an image explained. And there's one final action we haven't looked at yet. But before we do that, I will read the text, Daniel chapter 2 and verses 24 to 49. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed, to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king, and said thus to him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah, who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen, and its interpretation? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching, and behold a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. Then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, insomuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. It's important to note that Daniel's prophecy seems to skip over the time from the Roman Empire until the final kingdom set up by the God of heaven. But you know, this kind of gap is not uncommon among the prophetic texts in the Scripture. The interpretation of verses 42 and 43 depends on the evidence leading to this conclusion that the ten-toe stage of the image hasn't yet been fulfilled in history, and it's still prophetic. And that brings us to the final action in revealing this forever kingdom. It is a kingdom ordained. I believe the key to the interpretation is found in verses 44 and 45. The kingdom which the God of heaven will set up, the kingdom which shall never be destroyed, can only be the kingdom of God. In the days of these kings must refer to those who will be in control during the last days of the times of the Gentiles. Today, we're 1900 plus years after Christ, and there's still no evidence that the kingdom of God has conquered the entire world. Now, some commentators say that the kingdom was established at Christ's first coming and that the church was the stone that broke the power of pagan Rome. But the symbolism of the stone striking the feet of the image seems to picture a short, intense time of conflict. And the demise of the Roman Empire took more than 1,000 years. We know that Rome rotted from within as political corruption and moral decay spread across the empire. The scriptures contain many references to God and to Jesus as the rock or stone. Ultimately, the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, that is, without human intervention, is a kingdom that will crush and consume all other kingdoms, and it will also last forever. This is the kingdom of God, and we're still awaiting its complete fulfillment. If the rock cut out without hands is Jesus, and I believe it is, then the mountain must refer to God himself. God's kingdom, the mountain of verse 35, will fill the earth and will last forever. God made this forever promise to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 16. You can read it there for yourself. His kingdom will never suffer destruction or be succeeded by another kingdom, as all the other preceding kingdoms had. It will begin with the millennium and continue forever into the eternal state. Robert Chisholm writes this: though the differing metals within the image represent four chronologically successive kingdoms, the single statue suggests that these kingdoms, though diverse in their identity, actually comprise one entity, a world empire that is in opposition to God. This explains why the entire statue is depicted as being destroyed by the rock with a single blow delivered to the feet, and why this event is said to occur in the times of those kings. Now, almost all expositors agree that the kingdom of God is in view in this vision and its interpretation. What they disagree on is the nature and timing of this kingdom and how it will destroy the other kingdoms that are represented by the image. Because our time on this broadcast is limited, we need to paint with a pretty broad brush, but here are some basic interpretations. Amillennials don't believe in a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, even though it's specifically referenced in Revelation chapter 20. They believe that Christ established his kingdom at his first coming. They view the church as this kingdom that caused the downfall of the Roman Empire. Postmillennials see the current church age as the millennium. In other words, we are living in this 1,000-year period right now. This group would include Reconstructionists, who believe and teach that the church will ultimately influence the world for righteousness to the point where they usher in the kingdom of God. Premillennials believe in the present spiritual kingdom of God, but then also in a future literal 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. They believe this reign will precede the second coming of Christ and the final judgment. Since the four kingdoms Daniel saw in his vision were earthly kingdoms, premillennials believe the fifth kingdom must be an earthly kingdom too. Now, some observations. Rome did not fall primarily because of Christianity. It was decaying from within, and it was being attacked from the outside. And Daniel's vision shows the ten-toe kingdoms as being swept away in a moment of time. Rome's decline was long and gradual. Its influence was still being felt several hundred years after Christ's coming. In addition, there are few people today who would honestly say that the kingdom of God is conquering the world, not spiritually, not politically, not socially. Furthermore, after Jesus ascended to heaven, the Apostle John was given a revelation that Jesus would return to earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will destroy the nations with the sword of his word and rule them with a rod of iron. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 19 and verses 11 to 16. If we see the destruction of the final stage of the fourth kingdom as future, it seems more in harmony with the facts of history and with other scriptures, like Daniel chapter 7 verse 24 and Revelation chapter 17 and verse 12. This premillennial view sees the kingdom that Jesus will set up on earth following his second advent as the first stage of his eternal rule. The stone in Nebuchadnezzar's vision represents that ruler and his kingdom. Now, all of these interpretations contain some unanswered questions, but I personally believe that the premillennial view is the one that fits most closely with a literal interpretation of the prophetic scriptures. So that's the filter through which we will look at this prophetic book. At the conclusion of Daniel's revelation, this powerful king falls on his face and worships Daniel as a representative of the true God. He doesn't credit Daniel, but rather Daniel's God, with the revelation of this incredible dream. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't even mention his gods, who failed to provide a realistic response to his inquiry. He recognized Daniel's God as a God of gods, as being supreme. And so Daniel is lavishly rewarded as per the king's promise, and he graciously requests appointments for his three friends, who joined him in praying for God's revelation of the king's dream. Daniel's God, Jehovah, is one true God among all the gods of this world. He is sovereign over all, and he is in control of human history. He is the God we worship through his Son, Jesus Christ. His kingdom surely exists here and now in a spiritual sense. But one day, according to the prophet Zechariah and others, he will rule and reign right here on the earth. Are you ready for that forever kingdom? My friend, were you blessed by the teaching on today's broadcast? If so, you can request an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching. Just write and request it by its title, A Forever Kingdom. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, A Forever Kingdom. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, A Forever Kingdom, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website, twr360.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in the book of Daniel. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.